Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Scripture readings will be taken from Ezekiel chapter 18. I'll be reading verses 24 through 29. Ezekiel 18, 24 through 29. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered, for his treachery which he has committed, and his sin which he has committed, for them he will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity and dies because of it, for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness which he has committed and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life, because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions which he had committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. But the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? All right. Good Bible study. Good to see everyone out this morning. St. Patty's Day, Randall said. You know what? The luck of the Irish. I had no idea. Good day. Got lucky. I'll never do that. Good to see everyone. Turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles. I want to give a shout out, as Randall already has. I appreciate Brother Nolan's prayer. The upcoming gospel meeting next Lord's Day. Andy Robinson will be here. Those lessons look good. The gospel of our salvation. We'll be talking in John. We look forward to that. As Nolan prayed prayerfully. Good results in that. The results begin with us as we invite our friends and family to that gospel meeting to make that success. We want the folks that we know and love to hear the gospel of Christ. Andy is no stranger here. Great preacher. Great man. Good Christian. We look forward to seeing him and hearing him. Second Chronicles, we'll be there a lot this morning. Chapter 9, verse 31. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David. His son Rehoboam reigned in his place. You know, there's really something wonderful to say about a person that you can absolutely count on. You know, I'll tell you what, she is so reliable. Oh, that guy's got it together. You can count on that guy. He never misses. And we like that dependability. We like that consistency in someone. Teachers love to have that. And that's how it's always great to be in a class with students that are well rested, that they're interested, and they have their assignments, the responsibilities that they show. It's great to have a classroom of people like that. Employers like that. Teachers like that. We like dependability. We like trustworthiness. We like consistency. We like constancy. Now, we need that. All of us as Christians, we need that when it comes to our service and dedication to the Lord. We need to be growing steadily in our walk with God. We need to have a consistent faith. We need to have a consistent obedience in our life as we serve the Lord. Really, those are hallmarks as a Christian, that we be consistent. We Rehoboam never mastered those. Verse 31, Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Last week, we talked about a royal fail. All of us know Solomon. We talked about the wretched end of Solomon's life as he looked back over his life and all the mistakes that he had made. This morning, I want to focus on Rehoboam. I want to talk about his reign. I want to talk about the mistakes that Rehoboam made. And really, there are certain just enormous failures, as we're going to see in Rehoboam's life. Now, under Rehoboam's kingship, when you think about the empire that he inherited, the kingdom that he that he got from his father Solomon, it began that great, but it ended up at the end of his reign, just a weak, tiny province, and he managed to mismanage it so badly that he drove 80% of the kingdom out and the people out. You think about that end of it, and you think about as he was reigning, the Egyptians came, plundered the kingdom, all right, and took a whole lot of stuff that was of high value. Not only that, but the seeds of idolatry that Solomon had planted because of the foreign women that he became involved with, the idols that were made, really under Rehoboam's reign, those idols were allowed to flourish. And the seed had been planted, and just like dandelions, they just grew everywhere, the idols. And really, that was a problem for the kingdom a good 300 years from the time Rehoboam ended his reign. So what's the Bible say about Rehoboam? 2 Chronicles, and that's the book we're going to be in, chapter 12, verse 14. Notice what it says. He did evil. He did not set his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil. And as we're thinking about Rehoboam and his big failures, what I really want to focus on is the issue of consistency. I want us to think about spiritual consistency, really more to the point, being inconsistent as we serve God. Because Rehoboam's life, when you think about Rehoboam's life, it's not a trait, really a straight trend to the dumpster. That's not how his life was at all. Actually, Rehoboam, he really had some good highlights in his life. He had some times when you say, hey, Rehoboam, you're getting it all together, man. You got it together. You're doing great. High five for Rehoboam. And then you look, no. 2 steps forward, 5 steps back. I mean, every time Rehoboam seems to accomplish that. He'll take 1 step in the right direction, and then he'll take 10 steps in the wrong direction. And you should know from the outset how Rehoboam started his reign. Listen, he inherited the greatest kingdom of all time from the greatest king of all time. That David put this kingdom together. Here Solomon is now reigning over. He gets that put in his lap. You think Rehoboam ever wanted for anything in his life as he was growing up physically, materially? Of course not. Do you think that Rehoboam, here he is, you talk about father knows best. Solomon's what? He's the wisest man that ever walked the earth. So you got a question about anything, son? You can ask Solomon. This is the beginning that he had. But despite all of that, and despite the beginning that he had, the start in life that he had, when he was done, the kingdom that he reigned over, that was given to him in his lap, was fragmented. It was torn apart. And I'm going to lay much of that blame to Rehoboam, at the feet of Rehoboam. And really, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about why that happened to him. I want to shore up, by talking about the mistakes that he made, I want to shore up your walk with God. I want to shore that up so that we can regularly and reliably serve God. Our walk with God needs to be calm. Our walk with God needs to be strong. All right. Just really, I think about that. There's a lot of folks that I've run on to, maybe you too. That how is your service to God? How is your walk with God? That's one day on, I'm off today. You know, there are periods of time when I don't even think about that. Don't serve God. But then there's times when I'm spot on. But we want to walk carefully. We want to walk forward. We want to walk regularly with our God. He wants to do better than Rehoboam did. This morning I want to look at him in such a way to recognize those failures that they never apply to us. Start that by the way that Rehoboam really actually took the crown. We learned very quickly that there are a lot of inconsistencies in his life because, you know what, Rehoboam didn't want to talk to God. Rehoboam did not want to talk to God. Chapter 10. Rehoboam, verse 1, went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of it. He was in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. Jeroboam returned from Egypt. So they sent and summoned him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came. They spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father, and his heavy yoke, and which he put on us, and we will serve you. He said to them, Rehoboam said to them, return to me again in 3 days. So the people departed. Now, when you look at that, this is a big moment. This, in fact, is a big moment for Rehoboam. And the fact that Rehoboam is going to Shechem, that tells you exactly how things are. Because he's not fully established as king. And in fact, he's weak. He's not very strong in this. And the people are going to Jerusalem, which they need to go to. The fact that he journeys to Shechem is very telling. And the fact that Jeroboam, verse 3, is there, that's a big rut-row, because he's a pretty charismatic leader, and he's a potential, really he's a potential rival for Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam ought to be looking around and saying, hey, if I blow this, you know, the whole thing is going to blow up. Maybe, as he's looking at this situation, maybe that's why he asked for 3 days. And he consulted with the older men, verse 6, alright? Notice what they say, verse 7. Well, they spoke to him, saying, if you will be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the elders, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. So he said to them, what counsel do you give that we may answer this people who has spoken to me, saying, lighten your yoke, which your father has put on us? Well, get ready. The older men, look what they said now. Verse 11, whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke, but my father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. Ha ha! What are you going to do here? No. Here it comes. We're going to take the counsel of what? The youngest. Good job, Rehoboam. You know, it's coming now. It's going to be harder than it was before. Well, what's the result of that decision? What's the result of Rehoboam's decision? Look at verse 13. The king answered them harshly. My father, verse 14, made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. So the king did not listen to the people. No. Verse 16, when all Israel saw what the king did not listen to the people, answered the king, saying, what portion do you have with David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your own houses, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David. So all Israel departed to their own house. Kingdom was divided. Because of this decision, the kingdom was divided. 10 tribes of the north, 10 tribes of the south. Kingdom spread. Great job, Rehoboam. Good decision, Rehoboam. Now, what do we usually do right here as brethren? What do we normally say here? That's a great place for our young people to walk. We always talk about this decision made by Rehoboam. You know what? Half of here, Rehoboam didn't listen to the wise counsel of the elders. He didn't listen to the older people who among us not being young. Hey, listen to watch your parents. You need to listen to your parents. You need to listen to the elders. And what do we think? We know better. We know better than that. We're not going to listen to them. We don't need to listen to them. Our bodies know better than they do. That's what happened. And we always use that. There's a lot to that. Some of that needs to be said. But what I'm really thinking as I look at this, the big issue is that he didn't consult, he divided of that council of the older people. It's, look at verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2. He says, but the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Now think about that. Not only did he not listen to the council of the elders, but here's a man of God, a direct prophet of God. My question is, why wasn't he consulted? Why didn't Rehoboam consult Shemaiah? I'm not ruling over God's people. I'll tell you what. My dad, he taxed the people so he could build all these fancy houses. I'm in this situation. My whole kingdom is caught up in idolatry. How can I bring them back to the Lord? What would you want me to do? Why wasn't that asked of the prophet of God? Rehoboam didn't do that. Rehoboam failed to consult with God. I'm going to say to you this morning that the beginning of spiritual inconsistency is when God is an afterthought and not the first thought. When God is an afterthought in any situation that you're in and not your first thought, Rehoboam has done what? Thought the will of God. Thought the will of the prophet Jeremiah. You want a strong, steady, reliable relationship with the Lord? Then you know how it begins? What do you want? What do you want, Father? What is your will in my life? What should I do? What does the Scripture say about this? Let's consult God's Word about this. That's very different from what Rehoboam seems to have put together. When you look at that, what he put together there, he looked a bunch of people that's just going to rubber stamp whatever he had to look. What's it say? How shall we answer these people? Yeah, we're in this together, boys. Seems like just a bunch of rubber stampers there. His mind's made up, isn't it? Instead, though, he should have thought after what? The will of God. God, you're first in my life. Help me, Father, with this decision. I'm at a crossroads here. You know what, Father? Not only in major decisions in my life, but every day in my life, I want you to be with me. I want you to help me. I want to do your will. I want to know what your will is. First and foremost, God, for those that have an inconsistent walk, comes dead last, just like Rehoboam. You start there. God, your walk with God, always gets stronger, not inconsistent. If you're inconsistent, I want you to recognize and understand something. Being inconsistent is expensive. I want you to make a note of that. I want you to put that in the back of your mind. An inconsistent walk with God, very expensive to your life. Rehoboam's life really was a series of missteps. High life, Rehoboam had it. Rehoboam had also low life. Look at chapter 10, verse 15. Again, I want to read that. The king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from God, that the Lord might establish his word. Now, I don't want you to think that Rehoboam did not have free will. We saw a little bit about free will in the betrayal of Judas. No, that's not what this is about. God just used Rehoboam's foolishness to accomplish what he had prophesied, what was going to happen. And he was very foolish in that. Look at verse 18. He says, then King Rehoboam said to Hadoram, he says, who was over the forced labor, and the sons of Israel, they stoned him. Now look, that's a mistake. Hey, I'll tell you what. Hadoram, you go fix this problem. This is the last guy the people wanted to see. They murdered him. And so Rehoboam ends up, verse 18, fleeing for his life. Look at verse 19. So Israel has been in the rebellion or in his day to the house of David until this day. It's not enough. All right. Enough foolishness there. Think about that. All of that. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. Now when Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin. Alright? He said, Hadoram, they killed him. Well, I'm not going to fix that. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to war and I'll make the people serve me. That's what we'll do. Yeah. First of all, that's what we'll do. Now, sometimes later, Jeroboam assembled an army of 800,000 men. I'm not good at math, but 800K, 180K, not a good idea. Alright? So, look at verse 2. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. So, they listened. They listened to the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. Wow, good thing. Bad, a lot of mistakes, ups and downs, and now there's a moment here. Good for you, Rehoboam. You listened. You're a little late to the party, but you finally listened to God. And really, there's some good things in here. Verses 5 through 12, you look at that. He built some cities. And then you look at about verse 13, 17, there's a bunch of Levites go up there and have it out with, flog it out with the northern Israel, the northern king. They come back after that where they can worship God, serve God, right, all of those things. Look at verse 17. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, for 3 years. For they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Some say, going real well. Rehoboam got married, had a family. That's cut in verse 18, really clear down to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 23. He dealt wisely. How about now somebody's going, hey man, this guy's killing it. Where's the sermon? Well, it's chapter 12. Look at verse 1. When the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and strong, he and all of Israel with him forsook the law of the Lord. Wow. Things going great, Rehoboam. Things going good, but things went well. What happened? He turned away from God. As a result, God turned away from him. Look at verse 2. It came about King Rehoboam, fifth year, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came against Israel, or Jerusalem, with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horses. And the people who came with him from Egypt were without number. He captured, fortified the cities of Judah, and came as far as Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam, prince of Judah, who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak. And he said to them, thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, so I also have forsaken you to Shishak. Alright. So the princes of Israel, the king of, they humbled themselves and said, the Lord is righteous. Now, okay, look at that. Think about that. All the, you know, here they come, but guess what happens now? They humbled themselves. Good for them. There you go. Kind of a moment there again. Alright. Now notice verse 7. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, so I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some measure of deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by means of Shishak. But they will become his slaves, so that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of kingdoms of the country. Well, what happened? So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took treasures of the house of the Lord and treasures of the king's palace. He took everything. He even took the golden shields which Solomon had made. Now think about that. Well, took everything. Now there's actually evidence, evidence that Shishak made a record of that, of what he took. Because after he did this, he made a record of all the cities that he invaded in Judah, all those places that he had plundered, and he made that, and he died a year later. His son became Pharaoh, and you can see the red. One scholar I remember reading, they took from Judah, from Jerusalem, 383 tons of gold, silver, precious metal. Wow. I say that because it's easy to focus for the moment on verse 5 and 6 when you look at it. There's a moment there where they, what? They humbled themselves. Where they said, what? The Lord is righteous. And I say that so that we may focus and not forget that spiritual inconsistency which Rehoboam shows, it has a cost. A big cost. It has a cost for sheer and mass. You know, a lot of times we talk about unfaithfulness. We talk about our walk with God being up, being down, being inconsistent, and all those things. We think in terms of eternity. Oh, when the trump blows, when I pass away, I don't want to be found in one of those inconsistent modes, when I'm down modes. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. But you need to understand as well that even if you do repent, even in your life, when you do return to God, you need to understand, Rehoboam did repent. Rehoboam did repent. God accepted him, but that did not mean what? That the consequence of his bad choices would magically disappear, did it? They did not. Yes, he was forgiven, but his kingdom was what? Still plundered 383 tons worth. What's the next? Think about these testimonies. Prodigal son. Yeah. Yeah, the prodigal son. He came home. He was forgiven. He came home from the pig pen, but you know what? He did not have an inheritance. There was no inheritance left to him. When you talk about walking away from the Lord every now and again, not being faithful, being inconsistent, the times that you're away from the Lord, have you thought about that? There are times that you're involved in sin and wrongdoing when you decided to do that, and then you can exact. You can exact in your life in the here and now and think about those times you may have paid a heavy price. A heavy price for being out, for being down, for being away from the Lord. You're away from the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. It'll change your relationship with brethren. It'll change your relationship with people. People can't trust you. People can't count on you. Because you've done that. All forgiven. There's a consequence. Yes. Yes, there's a consequence. You go away from the Lord for a season, and I'll tell you what can happen. Your whole life can change. In just that season. You get intoxicated. Kill somebody. Huh? You can be forgiven. But I'll tell you what, your whole life from then on is not going to be sunshine and clover, is it? No. It's not. The tragedy here, maybe not just for young people, but I'll tell you what, we don't think that far ahead right here. Most of us right here. This is about as far as we can see down the road. We don't think about the pleasures and the moments of sin is what we're concerned about. Right now. What we can do right now. That's where our mind is. The cost of sin is now. You know what it is right now. I had my files back there, a woman has had two abortions. Or whatever. She's had two abortions. Now every time she sees a baby, she weeps openly because of the things that should have been. I know a brother in Christ who was an alcoholic. You know when he became an alcoholic? When he fell away from the Lord. And now he cannot. He cannot get rid of that. He is doing a battle with that. I know a brother in Christ that has AIDS. You know when he got AIDS? When he fell away from the Lord and decided that would be a good time to visit prostitutes. Come with me to Galatians chapter 6. Hold your place in Chronicles. Galatians chapter 6. Paul says there in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life eternal. Rehoboam wanted to enjoy the time of planting, like a lot of us. But he did not want the harvest. He wanted to skip the harvest. Now, it doesn't work that way. I like Robert Louis Stevenson. Here's a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson. Sooner or later, all of us will sit down to a banquet of consequences. Man, that's the truth. That is the truth. For Rehoboam, that banquet did not taste very good. And that is what yields the spirit of inconsistency. You may be able to be forgiven. You may be able to come back and have a relationship with the Lord. But you know what? Your life may be a mess by then. A mess. That's the price. That's the price of spiritual inconsistency, and that ought to motivate us. That price ought to motivate us that we understand, folks, forgiveness does not erase the consequence of sin. We need to know that. And that's particularly, I look at Rehoboam's case. See Rehoboam, you know what? He just really struggled. You know what I want to think Rehoboam didn't do? God didn't learn from his mistakes. He didn't learn. He's up, he's down. He's good, he's bad. He's in God's graces. He's out of God's graces. He's outside of God. Suffers the consequences of God. Returns to God. All of that. And really chapter 12 details that a lot when you look at that. Rehoboam's life summarized chapter 12. Shishak comes up against him verse 9. As a result of that, all kinds of bad things happen to his life. Let's go back there. Let's look at chapter 12 again. Let's look at verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. Again, he says this, "And when he humbled himself, the anger of the Lord turned away from him, so as not to destroy him completely, and also conditions were what? They were good in Judah. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam, 41 years, and began to reign, city of the Lord, chosen tribe of Israel, put his name there, his mother's name there, all of those things." That's good. All of those things are good. Look at verse 14. He did evil. He did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. That's bad. How can that be? You got these. Could it be that Rehoboam? Rehoboam just went blindly through life without paying attention to the lessons that God was trying to teach him through Shemaiah the prophet, through the Word of God. I think that's exactly what happened to Rehoboam. Even though the prophet here directly tells him of the consequence of the invasion of Egypt, Rehoboam, he just doesn't teach it. He doesn't go in for it. He keeps making the same mistake over and over and over again. There's probably nothing better that illustrates that over and over again mentality of those mistakes. Look at verse 9. Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, took the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's palace. He took everything. He even took the golden shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place, committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the door of the king's house. Well, that's just not. What's the answer to the testing of the Lord? What's the answer to Rehoboam? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll just take these shields of bronze. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to polish these guys up. We're going to shine these shields of bronze. I don't care how much you shine bronze, it's not going to look like gold. And I'll tell you what we'll do after we do that. We'll hang them up and we'll just pretend they're gold. We'll just pretend. It just never happened. That they got the real stuff. Hey, let's pretend that's his way of handling it. That's Rehoboam's way of handling that. Think about that. Get rid of things. Let's just do this and pretend. Proverbs 24. Let's pretend and sit alone. I like what Rehoboam's father wrote in Proverbs chapter 24. Notice what he said. He's learning from life's experiences. Paying attention. Thinking about what's going on. Verse 30. He says this, "I passed by a field of plunder and the vineyard of a man lacking strength. Behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Now when I saw it, I reflected upon it. I looked. I received instruction." There's a lesson to be learned here. I'm going to meditate about that. I want to think about that. I want to see what's going on here. I saw some things. What can I learn from that? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come, he says, as a robber, he says, and your want like an armed man. That's exactly what Rehoboam wasn't doing. He wasn't thinking. He wasn't learning. He wasn't contemplating the situation. Rehoboam wasn't examining it. What was he doing? Covering it up. He was pretending, and instead of seeing, instead of realizing, instead of learning, instead of letting all this go in, not Rehoboam. I'll pair that with the prodigal again. Let's go to Luke 15. Let's look at that. Jesus says in Luke 15, look at verse 14. "Now when he had said everything, the prodigal, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went, hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would gladly fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and because there was no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to himself," but when he came to himself, that's a pigsty moment, by the way, if you want to watch this. He looked around, he observed, "What in the world am I doing here? What can I learn from this? Why am I here? My life's a mess." I need to do something about it. I'm in terrible shape. You know what I need to do? I need to go home. I need to beg my Father for forgiveness. I need to learn from this. How come Rehoboam couldn't do that? Inherited the biggest empire of all time. Now he's being kicked around by some two-bit pharaoh. Never learned. Got so all my gold. What did I know about this? That's a wake-up call, Rehoboam. Get real. Get with it. Look exactly what's going on. Grasp it. Don't pretend it didn't happen. Don't pretend. Pay attention. Stand here. Wake up. Instead of what, brethren? Don't cover up your sin. Don't pretend it don't exist. Get out of the world and make believe. Serving God is the real deal. Sin will separate you from God. Don't pretend they don't exist, and don't pretend that you're above it. Morning, I cannot stand the place of Shemaiah for you. And I want to say this. I want to be clear that not all bad circumstances in your life is because of sin. Let me say that again. Because something happens to you that's bad, it doesn't mean that sin is involved. Let me say this. Shouldn't we try to consider the instruction? Shouldn't we at least look and examine and see if my life is the way my life is because I haven't grasped some things that I need to grasp and addressed some things that I need to address? A preacher friend of mine was telling about this gal. One relationship right out of the other. One marriage right out, one bad marriage right out of the other. He's counseling her. And the last counsel session that he has with her, she said, it's getting to the point that you can't find a good man in a bar anymore. Now, there needs to be some self-evaluation. There needs to be some consideration, some learning from these setbacks. You know, we talk about Hebrews 12 all the time. It tells us what? That we learn things from our discipline, from the chastising of the Lord. Folks, we've got to take that passage more serious. We've got to look at that passage. The reason in our life, why things are like they are in our life, is God, what's God trying to tell me? Is God trying to bring me back? Maybe I need to look around. Maybe I'm in the pit then. Maybe I need to go home. Maybe I need to learn that instead of putting up glass shields and pretending that everything is okay, maybe you really just need to address some things. Maybe you need to look at some things. Consistent walk with God does not mean that you will not make mistakes. Consistent walk with God does not mean that you will not sin. It does not mean that you will not fall down. But it means that when you do, you will address those things. You will realize those things. You will maintain a consistent walk with God because you're going to examine yourself and seek God's forgiveness. I'll walk with Him in a better way. We're constantly looking. We need to be constantly self-evaluating. Not just ourselves, the Lord's church. How's this place doing? What path is this place on? Am I going down this place? Am I going up on this place? How am I doing? How's the Lord's body doing? All of these things. What steps do I need to take to help this place? To help me? Walk better with God. But I'll tell you what, if you're asleep at the wheel, you're going to end up like Rehoboam. You're going to keep making the same dumb mistake over and over again. He did evil. He did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Maybe not end the story of Rehoboam the way Rehoboam ended it. You ever think about inconsistency? If you're inconsistent long enough in your life as a Christian, as you serve God, do you know what it ends up being? Consistent. Kind of funny, resigning in that. Your inconsistency will end up being consistent. You know what Rehoboam did? You know what he finally did? Because he was wrong, because he was off. He just said, you know what? I'm going to be off. I'm going to serve self. And I'm going to start sin. Do you know why? Because it gets to the point, it's just so exhausting. I just give it all up. Just forget it, folks. Rehoboam started out well. And he ended up lost because of his inconsistency. And he gave up the consistent life of sin. That's Rehoboam's story. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of brethren that I know that that's their story. Man, they start out good. So much promise in the kingdom, just like Rehoboam. And end up lost. Because they go through that thing, let's pretend. And then finally, they just give in. And they end their consistent walk with God, their consistent walk with, it's me and what I want to do. Put your song up there. Rehoboam, like many disciples, began well. Spirited the kingdom away, spirited the wealth away, his relationship with God, because he was ridiculously inconsistent. That was Rehoboam's fault. Is that the problem this morning? Maybe it's the problem that you have. Maybe this morning you are out of step with God. You're not walking the path of righteousness. You can be consistent this morning. We'll pray with you. God will forgive you. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, I promise you you're out of step. You're not in a consistent walk with God. Jesus said you must first come to him in simple obedience, believing in him, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Please come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.